The power to control the money is one that is now in the hands of those who pretend we can't function without them. So how can we do something? Working hard to get a raise, lifting that wage up. Inflation takes it like a hidden taxation. Manipulated interest rates to get the bank way to create money with the loans that they're giving out daily. That means our money is dead, and we gotta pay back more than 100%. No wonder then why the middle class is going under, where the ones above them gotta cover and come to collect. And many have no access to banking, making payments.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday at 12:05 p.m. And, of course, in the case of last week with Hurricane Irma, it was a rerun, but we have a full panel back on the air today. And that, of course, would start with, in the studio, the contrarian, Augie. Good afternoon, Augie.
Good afternoon, Henry, and good afternoon, all you survivors out there. You got cool and hot, or hot and cool, or just hot?
Well, I hope to have power back at my house by the time the show is over, but I'm not counting on it. And we'll see what happens, but we managed to put together a show today without the ability to edit audio. And I've got some audio planned for the show, and we'll see how that plays out. Speaking of playing out, let's go to our first panelist on the phone, and that would be... Well, so much for audio. Well, the days go by, but we have the return of Gabe Higgins. He is the founder of the Tampa Bay Bitcoin Meetup, as well as other social activities up there. And you can find out more about that right now, and we'll find out what his schedule is. Good afternoon, Gabe.
Good afternoon, fellas. Good to be here.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, how did you survive the hurricane?
Oh, we managed through it. Still got a couple. I was fortunate to be one of the first ones to get power back, but I still have some friends of mine that don't, and I'm trying to host them here.
Okay, and just a few minutes, we'll find out how that affected the meetups, because I'm pretty sure there's no full calendar, social calendar here on this week's show, because so much stuff is up in the air for people. We'll find out more about that a little bit later in the show, but let's go to our next panelist. And... and that would, of course, be the CEO of the company that is placing Bitcoin ATMs all around Tampa Bay and Florida and beyond. That would be Lee Hansen. He is the co-founder and CEO of Byte Federal. Good afternoon, Lee.
Good afternoon. Hope everyone had a entertaining hurricane.
Yes. Well, how did you work out? You were down there, South Sarasota County.
Yeah, my house is in Zone A. We had a mandatory evacuation, so I fell back to my sister's house and enjoyed the weaker than we thought storm. So it was all good.
You cut your electrical power come back? Do you have any inconveniences?
After 4 days of entertaining generator experiences, we got our power back.
What about you, Anya? Did you ever lose power?
Actually, we lost power, but got it. I stayed with my daughter on the mainland. I'm in evacuation A on Siesta Key, and we left and cooped up with her, and then she called nicely and set us up to go to the hospital that I spent some time in after I came down from Gainesville way back in 2013, and I stayed there from Sunday morning till Monday morning, and came back.
As a shelter?
It's the hospital itself. It's a one-story hospital. It's called...
nice, safe, padded room, or...?
that was meant for my contrarian positions, but no, yeah, they liked they loved the conversation, actually. No, the padded room was saved for my daughter's office, and I ended up sleeping on a couch in a day room, so I was all right.
And what about the meetups, Gabe? How has that affected the schedule of meetups for the Tampa Bay area that you're involved in?
Yeah, well, this past week we had to unfortunately cancel ours just because, you know, of the after effects of Irma and lots of people without power and communication. And I hadn't been in contact with the owner of the of the restaurant we usually meet up at. So I thought it was best for all parties involved to just cancel it for this past week. But we will resume our normal every other week meetup this next Wednesday.
Okay, Wednesday 4 days from now or Wednesday the following week?
The following week.
Okay, well, so we'll have another show in between now and then, and we'll have an up-to-date social calendar for all the Bitcoin cryptocurrency meetup events in the area. As we speak right now this Saturday afternoon, and don't blink because things have been changing fast price-wise this week in all the cryptocurrencies. According to Coinbase, Bitcoin is at $3,613.71. Ethereum is $248.64, and Litecoin is $51.09. But there's a lot of that in the news to take up right now, and we're going to get to all that right now. Well, as far as the story not ringing true, we'll get to J.P. Morgan's Jamie Dimon in just a few minutes. But let's start with Chinese Bitcoin exchanges. Huobi and OKCoin, two of the country's big three markets, have announced that they will halt yuan-denominated trading by the end of October. The twin statements indicate that at least for now, the exchange will continue to offer cryptocurrency to cryptocurrency trading services. That said, both exchanges are halting yuan deposits starting today. That would be the Chinese currency. According to the two exchanges, definitive information about the trading suspension will be circulated to users before September 30th. We actually have a timeline on that we'll get to in just a moment. The exchanges will undertake a gradual process of unwinding their yuan-denominated markets. The news came after fellow China-based exchange BTCC, Via BTC, and Yunbi all announced that they would shut their doors, citing statements. Of course, this is part of the turmoil in the marketplace this week. At the time of the writing of this article, leaked document indicated that verbal directives have been given to some exchanges regarding their closure. And as I said, we'll get to the actual directives in just a moment. Augie, you must have felt validated this week if you were following the prices from the safety of your shelter. If you were looking at pricing this week, you would have been seeing Bitcoin in the the lower 4,000s. All the way down to just touching below 3,000.
A 30% drop.
Yes, and then back up, actually touched 4,000 again yesterday, and now has traded down around 3,600. I mean, if this were a stock, you would think disaster was around the corner. You may think disaster is around the corner, but these swings of 30% just seem to be the norm with these things.
Yeah, there's a predictor out of the New York Times. In today's New York Times, big article says, such currency, much risk. The creator of satirical Dogecoin based on a meme, with a garbled syntax, warns of cryptocurrency bubble. This guy's name is Jackson Palmer, the creator of Dogecoin. He predicts a collapse of the currency, and he's a believer in it, but nonetheless, it's a dot-com bust, but on a much more epic scale, very large. I'm sorry, I'm going to ask a dumb question. What's meme?
It's like another word for theme.
Theme, ah.
Or you guys could correct me. It's something, you guys explain it. You go, you're much younger than us here in the studio. What makes a meme different than a theme?
It's more of a cultural thing that just takes hold.
So it's just a term that
cultural meme is like an idea that spreads, goes viral.
Oh, so it's a memo with a serious meaning.
It's a thing, you know. It's a thing. It's a cultural thing.
Well,
a
cultural.
Usually they're not. They don't have serious meanings. They're usually just jokes.
Yeah. Oh, it's a joke. It's a tongue-in-cheeker.
Well, you know, we would have stumbled onto the meaning if we had been left on our own long enough.
Yeah, I just don't like to stumble that long.
Tell us about this currency, Dogecoin, and what do you make of that creator's thoughts on all this and the whole thought of a bubble?
Well, you know, I don't really follow Dogecoin so much. Haven't read much about the, you know, technology in the background of it. But as far as the bubble, I think they're funny. You know, the stories of these big crashes are always hilarious. How much of what we say on this program, you know, translates into panic selling in the market? You know, we don't have a huge user base, but it still plays a role. So if we say, hey, it's going to pop, then maybe it's self-fulfilling. Ultimately, I think that demand is far greater than supply. It'll continue to be like that. And these resets are a huge opportunity to jump in and take the ride back up, in my opinion.
Well, on the roller coaster ride yesterday while I was watching it, I went to bed, I guess it would be Thursday night, thinking we were consolidating in pricing, and I was okay. And then by the morning, when I woke up and saw a 30% drop, I was like, you are so stupid. And why didn't you protect your capital last night when you had a decent price? And then by the late afternoon, when I saw the retrace its way back up to the 30% and reconsolidating at the last support level before the roller coaster ride of the week, I bought back in and bought some more, and it's so far, given 24 hours of stability, more or less, I'm like, well, maybe I was right, but I could just as likely be waking up tomorrow morning after the Asian markets do whatever the Asian markets do and go, you are so stupid. That is the way it is. Gabe, you had an interesting tweet that I think I might even have retweeted. I know I liked it. It was talking about if you can't handle a 30% drop. What did you say?
Yeah, if you can't handle Bitcoin's 30% drops, you can't handle its 6,000% returns.
Yeah. Well, and then one thing about this is if you do look, if you want, everybody wants to compare it to the dot-com bubble. People try to compare it to the, like Jamie Dimon, to tulips. Tulip bulbs, and that is just a bogus comparison because they didn't have a function. Augie's shaking his head. He'll get his chance. But he already got the opening salvo here, so he's got to keep his powder dry here for a moment. It would be a much fairer comparison for the dot-com bubble because you had a new functioning technology. You had these multiple startups, some flimsy and suspect at best, others that became Google and Amazon and Facebook, or others that became Yahoo that slowly died a slow death and got bought up by a bigger company. But if you look at the pricing from the 1990s, whether it be the Dow or the NASDAQ, which took a longer time to recover, depending on your time frame, you could say the bubble collapsed, or you could say the bubble wasn't a collapse, it was just a long correction. And that's what seems to be going on to me, not even that we've experienced the true nature of the correction yet. Your thoughts? Either one? Yes. Well, either.
I tend to agree that it's a correction, and it's just going to keep vectoring upward. You know, as far as a total collapse, I think that's just silliness.
Well, we're going to look at some of the causes of that, but I said Augie would get his chance, so let Augie speak
well
and be heard.
Yes, I appreciate that. I think the problem is, here, let me give you an illustration. This Mr. Palmer is written up pretty heavily on two different pages of the New York Times in the business section. Despite the obvious risks of ventures, investor appetite have been ravenous. A group of Bay Area programmers this year used an ICO to raise $35 million for their project, an anonymous web browser called Brave, in less than 20 seconds. There have been 140 offerings in 2017. And what they use as a situational thing, if you're having trouble picturing this bubble burst, imagine that a friend is building a casino and asks you to invest. In exchange, you get chips that can be used at the casino's tables. Once it's finished, now imagine that the value of the chips isn't fixed. isn't controlled, in other words, and will instead...
But finite.
Well, anyway. And will instead fluctuate depending on the popularity of the casino. The number of the gamblers and the regulatory environment for the casinos. Oh, and instead of a friend, imagine it's a stranger on the Internet who might be using a fake name and might not actually know how to build a casino. And when you probably can't, and you probably can't sue the fraud if he steals your money and uses it to buy a Porsche instead. That's an ICO, according to
Mr. Well, you're comparing oranges and grapefruit. You're, those are all involved in cryptocurrency, but you're talking about the ICOs. If we relate it to the dot-com bubble, you could talk about the frothy IPOs that were spawned in the dot-com bubble. But you're not talking about the transformational nature of the Internet itself.
Oh, that I agree with.
So
yeah.
What we can look at here, I tend to agree with Augie that these ICOs are very suspect. And I think if people go back and listen to past shows, not to put words in Cabe and Lee's mouth, which they will have a chance to do themselves here in a second, they were much more skeptical about regulating ICOs than Augie and I are. But the actual blockchain technology and the cryptocurrencies, the key ones, that has a much different nature to it. We'll get into that in a moment. I want to give Gabe a chance to get back into this, and then we're going to play a couple audio quotes that highlight some of the things that happened this week. Gabe, did you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think this, if you remember on my last call with you guys, I think 2 weeks ago now, when we started having this correction, I said I was surprised it wasn't more of a correction. Well, we got more of the correction on the China news. And on the news of Jamie Dimon's comments, and I think this is normal behavior. If you've been in crypto for any amount of time, you can look at the price chart. You can see how it does strong run ups and then strong pullbacks. This is just the nature of how these markets work.
So it's like an ordinary market.
So this is no surprise. This is just.
It's just one
just
more market. It's just one more market, right?
Well, by the way, I want to point out that 2 weeks in cryptocurrency is 12 months in stock market years.
Ah, so it's just one more.
Hey,
I wanted an
opportunity to respond to Augie's statement and yours on the ICOs, if you don't mind.
Sure. And then we'll hear from Jamie Dimon right after that.
We've discussed this before also in that innovation has risk, right? And if you're going to regulate innovation, you're going to basically restrict it in order to mediate the risk, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it is the technology that drives the global economy, so restricting it is counterintuitive. If there are costs associated, then they're the responsibility of the individual who's taking the risk and not, Is it not better? I'm going to turn this into a question. Is it not better to foster rapid innovation in the space rather than stifle it through regulation?
Well, I think that's a false premise, but the point. I
thought it was a straw man argument myself.
Same thing. That's what a straw man is a false premise. The point is, you regulate the currency itself as to what it's exchanging in, and that's what China really is doing. They're saying you're not going to use our currency at an experimental level and cause us conservative people over here in China a big fat headache. And
well, I think that's conflating the ICO and the currency. But I want to get to Jamie Dimon since he started this.
Right.
I would just say to Lee that we had plenty of suspect IPOs during the Internet boom and many success stories and many failures, and all of those were under SEC regulation. So we got the innovation under regulation.
Yeah, that's right. I don't quite agree with what your whole point is, but I agree generally, yeah.
Yeah, and actually we got the innovation because the government took our tax dollars and picked winners and losers in the development of these technologies, and then they turned it over to the marketplace. Yeah. But that's a whole not long other show. Let's go with J.P. Morgan Chase's CEO, Jamie Dimon. This was sort of the opening shot of this week's roller coaster ride in the cryptocurrency market. And again, I have not had the benefit of power, so we're playing this cold without editing. This is from, I believe, a CNBC.
You made a comment earlier today that Bitcoin was a fraud.
Yeah.
Why is Bitcoin a fraud?
Yeah, so separate blockchain, which is a technology, from Bitcoin, the currency. And now there are multiple currencies, and so I'm talking about not Bitcoin per se, I'm talking about currencies. You know, the first, and the reason, and by, I'm not saying go.
By the way, that was an interesting caveat that wasn't reported in a lot of these articles. Even though he goes on to say it's a fraud, he says, well, I'm not talking about Bitcoin, I'm talking about these other.
Let him finish.
I will let him finish.
Oh, okay.
All right. I'm not going to treat him like you, Augie.
Okay.
You're short, because I know Jim Chandler's up for you. You know, Bitcoin can tell $100,000 of Bitcoin before it goes down. So this is not a advice on what you do. My daughter bought some Bitcoin and it went up, and she thinks she's a genius now. But it's I did refer to it as like the tulip bulb crisis of the 1700s.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
But here's the reason. Governments, the first thing they do is form a currency. They like to control the currency. They control it through a central bank. They also like to know who has it, where it is, where it's going. Okay? And you just saw China is closing down the Bitcoin exchanges. And all I ever said is that at Bitcoin, the bigger these things get, the more governments right now, they look at it as a novelty. You know, they love in Washington, talk about, oh, this is, you know, technology, we love technology. Wait until someone gets hurt. Wait until it's used for illicit purposes, which it is somewhat used for illicit purposes, they close it down. And that's my point. So it's not, you can argue there's, and I also said there's a good reason for it. If you're in Venezuela or Ecuador or North Korea, you're better off probably using Bitcoin than using their currency. That can't possibly be true in the United States unless you're speculating. And that isn't a reason to say something has value because other people are going to speculate. That's tulip. And that's what I was saying. So I don't think, and also, like I said, the other reason to close down is because it's used for illicit purposes. And so it's just not a real thing, and eventually it'll be the emperor without clothes.
Well, that was a much more nuanced explanation than the headline articles that went around.
Not only nuanced, but pointedly, comparing it to the tulip thing and all the rest. Wow. Yeah. Speculation.
So now that you've had a chance to hear that quote, if you haven't already heard it, and I bet a lot of the audience has not ever heard the extended quote there, and there's much more, I'm sure, if you search it out on the Internet, what are your thoughts about what he actually said? I know I'm throwing this to two people on the phone at the same time. I think Gabe Lee spoke last. Let's go to Gabe.
Yeah, I think he's full of crap, basically. I tweeted, if you are still comparing Bitcoin to tulips, you don't understand the tulip bulb mania or Bitcoin. Bitcoin is not a tulip mania bubble. It can't be, because the tulip bubble mania, it crashed and it never came back. It never returned, right? Bitcoin crashes, returns, and goes to higher highs. Crashes, returns, goes to higher highs. It's throughout its entire existence, it's done this, Bitcoin has. You can't compare it to tulips. There's an actual legitimate use for Bitcoin that tulips could never have.
Gabe, you're almost falling into the same trap, I believe. Yes, tulips were a fashion. So when something goes out of fashion, it may never have value again. But a technology...
Well, they didn't go out of fashion. They were useless.
They were in fashion with an elite in the Netherlands at that time, and it was a measure of status. Just like a mink coat doesn't have much more function than a cloth coat, except for the fashion of it, and that is why people will pay a greater price for it, for their status and their how it appears to other people.
Maybe gold is a better comparison.
The same with tulips. We'll get. You need to get that mic closer to you.
Okay, sorry.
But the tulips had no function other than to grow a flower. And they became a fashion and a symbol of status. A technology can outrun its value in price. It has an underlying intrinsic value, and the price can be inflated up, and it can crash and never come back to that price. So both. In my opinion,
it can, but you can't point to where Bitcoin has done that.
Well, history will will show us one way or the other. I don't think so either, because it's a finite, you know, there's only 20 million of them, and if it becomes an exchange of currency, even broader than it is now, it's on a trend to continue to do this and to grow. Yeah, I continue to see the pricing go up. You look at the size of the market. Actually, what we need to do is go to the next audio. And, Lee, unless you had something real cogent you wanted to get in before this next audio.
Yeah, I think that we just keep I hear these recordings, and I keep hearing a complete lack of understanding of what cryptocurrency does, what it offers beyond fiat, what it does as a technology, what it facilitates for the unbanked.
Lee,
the fact that it's instantly transferable, that it's not inflationary, that it's not centrally controlled, that it's basically programmatic currency, it offers so many opportunities for advancement in the financial markets, and we just casually ignore that and try and compare.
Well, to make your point for you, you don't have the benefit because of my not able to send this stuff out due to lack of that technology called electricity. I do have a contrarian, not Augie audio, but from Brad Garlinghouse, who is the CEO of Ripple, the fourth most valuable cryptocurrency. He will speak to some of your points, if not all of them, about the functionality and the value of all that. And I think this is an interesting counterpoint to Jamie Dimon. And we're going to come back with one of those don't listen to what I say, watch what I do news articles about Jamie Dimon. But here first is Brad Garlinghouse, CEO of Ripple. And again, we will hopefully get this audio. Okay, well, this is the CNBC audio that is not going to function for me. I apologize for that. One of the points that he had made here is that I guess what I'll do is I will have to do the narration from this. And this is from Cryptocurrency CEO sees bright future on CNBC. And he's going to go on to say that the currency now is worth about $9 billion after starting the year at around $250 million. He will go on to say here that if you compare it to gold, like Augie has sometimes done.
And just a moment ago.
Yes. I believe his numbers on gold is that it's, what, about $9 trillion.
Yep.
He makes the point, when you compare the market cap of the cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin to gold, that the room for expansion of the cryptocurrency value is a super high multiple. It's in the hundreds of times. And he also makes the point, as far as gold can be used for jewelry, the technology of the blockchain is much more transformational. And with Ripple, it is being used by central banks all around the world. So he is talking about the technology aspect that Gabe and Lee have talked about. So, again, I apologize to the audience for the failure of that audio and the lack of electricity this week. But you all can speak to that now. Okay.
Did we lose your
I'm going to let Lee talk.
No. The transformational aspects of it are enormous. That's the wonderful thing about it. Imagine – Look at Ethereum and the trustless contracts, that are facilitated. How that cascades into optimizing financial markets. I think it was J.P. Morgan Chase that released a statistic that said that blockchain technology in and of itself represents a 60% increase in overall financial markets efficiency.
That's
enormous.
That's a good thing.
I've been able to isolate the transcript while. You all gave me the moment to do this. I can see that once I have electricity, this show will be well edited before it goes up on the internet. Okay, Garlinghouse, in these two paragraphs, he speaks to several of the points we've all made here. I definitely lived through the dot-com bubble. Josh Hanna wrote a post about that bubble and what's going on with cryptos today. Most people think a future discounted cash flow is the best way to value a company. But digital assets are a commodity trading on supply and demand. There's a fixed supply and increasing demand, one of the things we were just talking about. I think you're going to continue to see more demand. In the future, I think you'll be able to buy Bitcoin or XRP Ripple in your Schwab account. people are looking at the success Ripple has been having as a company, and I think that's increased the value of Ripple. We want to keep focusing on making XRP a valuable payment tool, and that value will increase accordingly. I'm voting with my feet and pocketbook on the future increased values of cryptocurrencies. One thing I'd like to point out is that gold is not worth $9 trillion because of its future discounted cash flows. There are some uses for gold, like jewelry, but it's basically a store of value. I'm not a blanket bull on digital assets. I don't know where the price of these digital assets is going in the short term, but over the long arc of time, I'm very bullish. I do think a comparison with gold is appropriate on a store of value basis. Gold is worth $9 trillion today. Bitcoin is worth $75 billion. So I think he's leaving it up to us to extrapolate where we think the Bitcoin value will go. But I think he addressed quite a few of the points that were being made. Augie?
I think the freedom of the technology is a good thing. And this is where I agree with you guys out there. I think the problem is going to be how you blow up the Hindenburg over a city. Wonderful technology that got the Germans over top of a major city and a great catastrophe therein.
Augie, why is it you, though? I know would remember the Hindenburg.
Well, I was around and watched. No. The point is they used the wrong interior. Did they use helium or hydrogen? I forget. I think they used hydrogen, but they had no controls on it. And the point is, if the technology is not correct and the regulations aren't there to make sure of it, people get reckless. They blow themselves up in the process of creating something that has potential. And down the road, you find out that Edison didn't create our electrical advantages. It was,
Tesla.
Tesla, yeah.
The guy that made the electric car.
That guy, yeah. And a lot of other things. He got blocked out. Not by regulation, but to people not investing. So getting people to invest in things in the right way. And then the other question I have is that's the important thing. But the other thing I have is how many coins in all the different currencies are there? Does anybody know that?
Well, guys, I want to have you hold for just a moment because we're past the halfway point here. On the other side of this break, we will come back and see what it was that Jamie Dimon was actually doing, or his company was doing, while he was making the rounds of the interview circuit. All that and more, you're listening to The Henry Raines Show. It's the Henry Raines Show here.